In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's scriptures are about lament and relationship. And I believe that we live in a society that doesn't tolerate lament very well. I used to curate a personal blog online. I wrote about everyday life, and I had a few readers. And I remember going through a challenging time when I was expressing grief and sorrow in my life. And one of my readers saw me in person and said, "You know, Allison, you could try writing something a little happier." I was talking to somebody who attended John Black's funeral. She was Korean, and she'd never been to a funeral in the United States. In Korea, she's accustomed to people passionately and publicly expressing their sadness and their grief upon the loss of someone who's died. She was surprised to tell me that she didn't see anybody openly wailing at John Black's funeral. My daughters watch the Daniel Tiger show on PBS. And Daniel's all about getting children in touch with what they're actually feeling. And of all the places, Daniel Tiger is the show that I've found, the place that I've found that allows us to express our sadness. There's this one episode where Daniel's feeling sad, and he sings, "It's okay to feel sad sometimes. Little by little, you'll feel better again." It's okay to feel sad sometimes. Now, there is one thing that is tolerated and even encouraged in our society, and that's anger. Today, we find Jesus both in an angry place and in a place of lament in the gospel. There are some Pharisees that deliver to him this news that Herod wants to kill him. And Jesus' first response is neither sadness nor anger. It's confidence. Confidence in who he is and what he believes about himself. But then he's angry, and he unleashes it. He unleashes the prophecy that he will be killed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is both the cherished place of Jesus' longing and the place where prophets are killed. So what begins with anger for Jesus turns into lament. I remember a long time ago hearing something I believe to be very true that Jesus models for us in the gospel today. Anger that turns into lament. Behind our anger is almost always sadness and fear. Just notice this week where all you see anger. Turn on any news station on cable TV and then think, what might be the fear? What might be the sadness behind it? Notice your own anger. What might be the fear? What might be the sadness behind those angry thoughts? Psychologist Gordon Livingston suggests, "It seems to me that just behind the anger that is so evident and often encouraged in our lives are those two emotions that are much harder to express, fear and sadness." Both of these are very common feelings, but they're seen as weaknesses that are hard to tolerate for long. So one way we escape them is just by getting mad and allocating blame. If we can find a target, we can indulge our outrage. We can assign responsibility for our misery to someone else. And now we're a victim. Today's scriptures give us permission instead to just acknowledge our sadness. to name the fear that's at the core of the things we get so angry about. There is very good news in Jesus' reaction to the threat of his own life. The crescendo is not anger or fear, though it's there, but it's a deep longing for a better way. Jesus laments. And Jesus' lament is rooted in a desire for relationship. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus says, "I so desire a relationship." I wonder, have you ever gone to God with a lament? It's one way to pray that sometimes we forget about. And every one of us in this room has something to grieve. If it's not in our own lives, just look at the life of this world. On Wednesday, our Lenten series, Walk in Love, is exploring prayer. And the authors of the book we're reading suggest that prayer, our response to God, is rooted in a relationship with God. And one of the healthiest things we can bring to our relationships are open expressions of how we're really doing, including expressing when we're sad. So even if the world doesn't want to or seemingly can't hold our grief, God can. In our first reading this morning, we encountered Abraham, who here is still Abram. And Abram's modeling for us what it means to be in relationship with God around our lament. So first, God reaches out to Abram and then comes to Abram in a vision and says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I will keep you safe, and your reward will be very great." And Abram replies out of a trusting relationship in God, this God who protects Abram, in lament. "God, Master, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless? And Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit everything." And he continues, "See, you've given me no children. And now a mere house servant is going to get it all." Abram's not afraid to express his sadness, even to God. The sadness of the reality that is his life. And God not only responds to Abram's sadness, but allows it. Rolf Jacobson, a childhood cancer survivor, a double amputee, an Old Testament scholar, says this about prayer and lament. "One of the things we do when we pray prayers of lament is that we tell God, 'God, you are complicit in our suffering.' And we make our problem God's problem. That's the promise of prayer. God is open to us doing that. God, in fact, commands us to invite God into our sufferings and to make our problems God's problems. Not only does God reaffirm God's promise, God expands the promise. God expanded the promise to Abram. God promised Abram, 'I will give you a descendant.' And not only that, I will give you descendants as numerous as the stars." When we come to God with our lament, God not only suffers with us, grieves with us, but then God shows us our salvation, reaffirms God's promises to us, expands those promises. So usually I find the crescendo for sermons in the gospel with good news from Jesus, But this week it's found, I believe, in the songs Jesus sang. Psalms are the songs that Jesus sang on the road to, well, probably everywhere. He learned them in the synagogue and went out and sang them on his way with his family members and friends and disciples. In times of gladness and times of sadness, psalms are what the Jewish people sang. We know Jesus cried out one of those songs on the cross as he died. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out from the depths of his soul. And today, the song that matches what Jesus is saying to us in the gospel is Psalm 27. It's a song of confidence and hope in the face of grief and trouble. The psalmist sings amid lament. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And the list of whom the psalmist should fear is long. Evildoers, foes, adversaries, enemies, armies, and war. There is much to fear and reasons to lament. But the psalmist can proclaim in the midst of it all, in the strength of God, there is nothing to fear. So you're invited this week, by virtue of these scriptures, to feel sad sometimes. You're invited to lament what you need to lament. Just behind the anger that can be so evident all around us and in our hearts and in our actions and our words, that's so often encouraged, are those two emotions that are much harder to express. Fear and sadness. It's okay. And God even invites us, welcomes us to feel sad. And in relationship with God, expressing that sadness, God ultimately leads us to a bigger and more expansive promise than we ever could have asked or imagined. If you picked up on the tune, sing it with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen.